time or a second late?
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, June the 27th of 2023. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And of course, as always, it is great to be with you. It's always great to be with you. Every opportunity that I have to be with you, it's always a wonderful thing. It really is. And so I even want to thank you for tuning in, as I always do. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all y'all who tune in. A little bit of a Southernism kind of came out, but yes, I am heading to the southern U.S. in a few days for about 2 weeks or so. Yeah, and most of that time I'll be in Tennessee, but for a couple days each way I'll be Kentucky, where my brother lives. Sorry, just taking a sip of water. But I know sometimes me and my brother have, you know, gotten into a little bit of discussion of, okay, is Kentucky part of the southern, part of the central states or the southern states? Is, to you, Lex, is Kentucky a southern state, or to you, is it kind of both? To me, Kentucky is one of those states where it's both central and southern, depending on where in the state you are. And what do I mean by that? Is, I mean, obviously, it would depend on latitude. There is a point a bit north of the 36th parallel, I would say kind of between 36th and 37th, about, I would say, where the Tennessee-Kentucky border is. A bit north of that, I would say somewhere near the Lexington and Louisville areas, kind of that bluegrass area. That's about where I would say that line is. Approximately there. I notice as far as the age accents, it depends on where. Like in far south Indiana, in the far south of Indiana, like Clarksville, Indiana, Jeffersonville, Indiana, like that, I notice the southern accents. Louisville kind of has it, but a little less. Go over to Lexington, now they have it more. But then on the east side of the state, Kentucky and Tennessee both, it seems to me like they're more apt to have these thicker accents. And also, I'm looking forward to go check out Gatlinburg. I have not been to Gatlinburg before. Multiple people had told me that I, you know, in the last, you know, because I had found myself asking things about Gatlinburg in the last several months. And multiple people had told me, you know, Rivers, Miracle Man, now for the show, I'll say Miracle Man. Miracle Man, you should definitely go to, you should definitely go check out Gatlinburg at some point if you get a chance. And Pigeon Forge. Pigeon Forge is right near Gatlinburg. I'm going to find out a little bit more about Pigeon Forge in the next couple of days. I know it's like only 10 minutes or so from Gatlinburg. So we're going to depending on how it goes, we might give that a tiny look too. And just to kind of watch and see, is it a place that would become one of my faves? Usually when I travel, some of my fave places to go are these larger metro areas that have lots of different food options and shopping options and things like that. There are times where it can be great, you know, to kind of go off the beaten path or maybe go to a different popular small town. Get to find a little bit of that true personality. Like, obviously, when I'm in Gatlinburg, I would like to find a place that's about, like, the true personality, like, before it even became a tourist town. It's not too far from North Carolina, and North Carolina was one of the 13 colonies. I'd like to see if there's some things there from colonial times. Because I'd be curious to see about that. And I'm still going to my faves for a little bit, Chattanooga, Nashville. And those are some of my favorites in America. They really are. But sometimes it's good to see other places in the region that I love so much, known as the Southern U.S., because I love, love, love it down there for a variety of reasons. You know, for the most part, most of those states tend to go for more conservative values, don't have quite as much of the woke as you do, like, on the West Coast, the East Coast, in places like Minnesota and Illinois. And unfortunately working its way into Michigan, in the middle of the country, you know, and then a lot of the West has just went left. So as far as more populated states, the more conservative ones are the South. To me, that does not explain all of why the South is my favorite part of America by any means. Would I say it's a part of it? Yes, I would. Also, it tends to be warmer in these southern places in the winter. And for a lot of certain things, they more align with me personally. Even like with some other stuff even. So people could almost say that I am almost in a way a Southerner at heart. And I think it's great to experience the South from the different angles. And by angles as a visitor, I mean, you know, some of the different places. Even though I may always have my favorites that I go back to, and we'll go back to, and you know, some of these favorite sound cities. One of these favorites is Cumberland Falls, which I have went to Cumberland Falls twice and really enjoyed myself. I know, you know, someone tried to tell me yesterday. Lexus tried to tell me yesterday. Sometimes she thinks, you know, the quiet, real soft waterfalls can be more beautiful. Sometimes that can be true, maybe, but I love, but I'm a power guy. I'm an action guy. I don't just want a little drip of water coming out of the waterfall. I mean, if literally one drop is coming out of a waterfall in like 30 seconds, something's wrong with the waterfall. But, you know, at least a constant trickle. Or maybe even a constant, you know, mid-level, you know, stream coming out. What I mean by that is, I mean, at least somewhere in between, you know, a trickle and the real roar. No, it won't be the true lion roar, but it'll be a water roar. There's been something that I've known for so many years, like 20 plus years of my life. And that is that when I see, I'll get to go to Cumberland, to Niagara Falls. Yes, I want to go to Cumberland too, of course, but yeah, Niagara Falls. And I've heard it called the Niagara of the South. When it, Cumberland Falls, I've heard of it called the Niagara of the South. Some of you might wonder, Miracle Man, why don't you talk about this more on the show, the last show night before you go? Why don't you talk about this tomorrow night instead? Like when you're leaving on Sunday, why don't you talk about it on tomorrow night more instead of tonight? I don't know. Sometimes it's just cool to kind of, you know, have fun and talk about, you know, if it's something that I love. I like being able to share great things about me. I do. I'm sharing my heart with you. Amen. And you see all these waterfalls and the different rock formations, you know, that help cause these waterfalls. God made that. These mountains that are really awesome, you know, that I like, you know, in the Southern U.S. One thing I like to do when I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee, is to go to this park. That's basically, I believe, it's either at the foot or it's at the summit of Lookout Mountain. And that's this area where you can walk in. And it's this park called Point Park. And it's a nice park where you can go to and kind of take a little walk on this paved path. And I tell you, if it was me, and I lived down there and stuff, you know, and I could see the drive and stuff, and I was down there, sometimes to me, especially if I lived right by it, that might be a place where sometimes I would go up there to pray. Sometimes, because, you know, sometimes in the Bible, Jesus went up on that mountainside to pray. Yeah. And then, you've got to see where this Klingman's Dome is in regards to Gatlinburg. It's the highest point in both Tennessee and North Carolina. So some point in there, it's like you're almost in both states, if that was possible. But you would either be in one or the other, of course. But that's like quite possibly the highest point east of the Mississippi, which would be higher up than the mean altitude of Denver, the mean altitude, the average altitude, but not necessarily the highest point of Denver, because Denver has been known as the Mile High City for how high up in altitude they are as opposed to sea level, if you catch my drift. So, yeah, that's kind of a bit of what's coming up with me and how, you know, feeling. Hopefully this summer you're able to take some kind of a vacation, even if it's just for a day or two, even if it's just somewhere kind of close by, you know? And so, and I got to be able to provide that for you. Amen. But we don't cheat God. Amen. We don't cheat God. I don't cheat God. In fact, the first day when I leave, Sunday, I'm going to be going to the final service on Sunday night of Dominion Camp Meeting, which is at World Harvest Church in Columbus. It is the camp meeting put on each year by Pastor Rod Parsley. Pastor Rod Parsley is an awesome pastor. He's an awesome pastor. He's been well known for many years, and he has ran the Breakthrough Program. If you ever remember that Breakthrough Program from the 90s, things like that. And I've heard some very good sermons from Rod Parsley in the Dominion Camp Meetings of the 1990s. And it was from that from which I've started going to Dominion Camp Meeting. This year will be the first year that I've actually went and heard a different speaker at Dominion other than Dr. Rod Parsley. Because generally, I had been going on Friday night. All of the first three times that I went, Friday night. And who was taught on Friday night? Pastor Rod Parsley, Dr. Rod Parsley. So this time I'll be, don't know who's going to speak on the other nights, but I know it'll be a word from the Lord, and of course I'll be ready to receive what it is that the Lord has for me. Amen. And no, I'm not going to cherry pick. I'm going to go expecting. Forgot to move. And by cherry pick, I mean, you know, maybe it's this speaker. Maybe I won't go. That's cherry picking. Cherry picking at that point. You know? In my mind, you receive what God has for you. And it's always, and it's been a little bit, you know, usually now when I go on vacation, it's always great, you know, when you find a like-minded church to go to. It's great. You know, that's why on Sunday mornings when I'm in the winter, if I'm in Florida, you know, for the certain Sunday that I'm in Florida, which whichever Sunday it is, you know, can differ here. I'll go to Rodney Howard Brown's Sunday morning service and receive the Word of God. And it's great. And I enjoy it. And you can feel his presence. And because for me, it's just something since COVID that just soon not take it for granted. Okay, now want to remind you of the couple of the but about the vacation thing. There'll still be some shows over those 2 weeks, but won't be every night. Won't be Monday through Wednesday. Always necessarily for those 2 weeks, and also they won't necessarily be full shows because, you know, what if we're trying to go to the restaurant and eat and things like that. Well. So, just thought I should let you know about that. All right? All right, amen. So, I want to remind you of two quick things. The housekeeping stuff that I always try to remind you of. First of all, I want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been. And I think about it and I go, you know, I think, and I go, you know, I have 17 surgeries done in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a city that's about, in the state of Tennessee, it's about 2 hours to the southeast of Nashville, Tennessee, and about 2 hours to the northwest of Atlanta, Georgia. City of about 180,000 people thereabouts, and it's a wonderful area. And as I grew older, I learned to really truly like Chattanooga, love it for other reasons, you know, different from my surgery. Now, for me, the surgery was just a fact of life. The surgeries are just a fact of life. I don't necessarily always have anything to do with why I go there. You know, I think it's a great vacation spot, and that's why I love to go there. It is why. And, you know, there's great places to shop, and there's the different Walnut Street Bridge, one of the world's longest pedestrian bridges, and different things like that that they have that are, in my mind, fantastic. Part of why I love it. I had like 17 different surgeries down there. They constructed the whole right side of my face down there. But lots of reconstructive surgeries. And I know God used that. You know, God uses doctors. God uses doctors, whether you think so or not. He does. He can. He will. He has. He does. Amen. And you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the website, Rivers of Miracles, about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how it can be a blessing to your life. Because I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed, and I want you to read the book. Amen. I really do. And you'll be glad you did. And it would be great if after you've read it through, if you give it to someone. And I'm believing for people to get saved as a result of reading that book. I really am. I'm believing for more and more people to read that book, to buy that book. Amen. That's what I'm believing for. Hallelujah. And then there's one more thing I want to remind you about. Let me tell you what it is specifically. It's about the PayPal. You can go online to PayPal in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. Okay? And I'm believing for more and more people that sow seed into the Miracle Man program. And I do want to thank you, Natalia, from Honduras. I want to thank you, Laura, here from here in Central Michigan, here in the Midland area. I want to thank both of you for sowing your seeds into the Miracle Man program. And just thank you so much for doing that. It not only blesses me, but I know you're helping the ministry. And you're helping further the gospel. Because what I'm doing here when I do this program is I'm fulfilling part of the Great Commission. The Bible says, therefore, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news. Now, as far as, as far as non-virtual travel, I've only been to Canada and the United States. But on this program, people have listened to me in every continent where people live, but not on Antarctica because nobody permanently lives on Antarctica. But we've had people tune in from, of course, this continent, South America, Africa, Europe, Asia, and Australia, Oceania. Yeah, that continent with New Zealand and stuff. And we've had people tune in even from these Islamic countries in Asia, like Iraq or Iran, places like that. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. I really do. And when you sow your seed, you can help us reach more and more hurting people, people who need to hear the good news, people who need to hear the word of God, people who need to have that opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so, you can go on to sow your seed into the program. You can go online to paypal.com. And hello.
Hello, it's Alexis.
You don't have to say you're yours, but it's nice to have a special guest with us. All right. But honestly, to sow into the Miracle Man program, you go online to paypal.com, and in the search bar, you type in Rivers Shukla. Rivers Shukla. The Rivers is R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. If you would keep two quick things in mind. Number one, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. So kindly just make a note of that, please. Number two, both the R and Rivers. And then the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So I would like for you to please, if you would, make a note of that as well. The verse I want to sow into your life tonight is, therefore God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He loved the world so much that he gave. And if you love what the Lord has done in your life, if you love if you feel like God has done things for you as a result of, you know, this ministry, you can give, sow a seed. And when I get notification that seed has been sown, I thank the Lord. I not only thank, you know, the person who sowed the seed, you know, or give a shout out like I did tonight, but ultimately I thank the Lord for that. Because when you sow a seed into the program, you're furthering the ministry of the gospel. And when you sow into this program, you're sowing into good ground. And I do not use that to fatten up my own pocket. No, 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 I do not do that for the ministry. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Yes. I'm going to sing a couple of songs for you and then get into the word of the Lord for this evening. And then see what the Lord has for us. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. God of Jacob, great I am. God of Judah, on the land. Louder than the thunder, but the lion is a roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. 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 Mount of Zion, prophets spoke.
Our
Messiah, flesh and bones. You alone are worthy. Open up the scroll. Louder than the thunder. You have suffered, but the lion has arose. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. 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 O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I will praise you again and again. All I have singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw my hands, praise you again and again. All that I have singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I've not much, have nothing that's fit for a king. All that I have singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I could sing those songs like I often do. And every song must end. And
you never do.
So I throw up my hands, I praise you again and again. All that I have singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, but I'm nothing that's fit for a king. All that I have, my heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
I got one response.
I got just one move. With my heart stretched wide,
I will worship you.
I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. With all I have singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, have nothing that's fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come up, my soul,
Don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. You got a lion inside those bones. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up those bones. Cause you got a lion inside of those bones. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. Now don't you get shy on me. Lift up a song. Cause you got a lion inside of those bones. Get up and praise the Lord. Praise you again and again. With all that I have, singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, have nothing that's fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See what you can do in greater measure. Run has no end. And now I've seen it, your goodness has no end. There's no prison wall that you can't break, no soul that you can't save, all things are possible. There's no prison wall that you can't break, no soul that you can't save, all things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh, God of revival, Lord, arise. Death has overcome. You've already won. Oh, God of revival, seen what you can do, and now, oh God of wonders, has no end. Things you've done before, in greater measure, you've done again. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up, oh God of revival. The darkest night, death has overcome. You've already won, oh God of revival. God of revival, come awaken the city. Come awaken this people. Oh, God of revival, pour it up, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh, God of revival, pour it up, pour it out. Come awaken the city. Come awaken your people. Oh, God of revival, pour it up. Pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh, God of revival, pour it up. Pour it out. There's no prison wall that you can't break through. No mountain you can't move. Oh, things are possible.
There's no broken body
you can't raise. No soul that you can save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you've already can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You already won. Oh God of revival, the darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of revival, come awaken your people. Come awaken the city. Oh God of revival, pour it up, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it up, pour it out. Come awaken the city. Come awaken your people. Oh God of revival, pour it up. Pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out. Pour it out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You are the Lamb of God. You are the God of revival. I thank you that you would revive us right now. Thank you for revival coming to us, that you would revive us, Jesus. And I know revival starts as people pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you'd revive our hearts and you would stir up our hearts again, and that you would just move on the inside of us, and that you would just awaken us again, and that you would just fix things that need to be fixed, that you would heal us, that you would strengthen us, that you would, just keep working on us, making us who we ought to be in your eyes, not in our own eyes, but in your eyes. Who did you make us to be? How did you design for us to be? What was the design of it? And I thank you, Master, for that. I thank you, Master, that you are doing that for us right here, right now. And I thank you, Master, for every one of these listeners, that they will receive what you have for them tonight, and that they would be able to focus on you and not be distracted by all this other stuff that so easily tries to entangle them, and all the tings and bings and dings and rings and even a phone that can sing and all this other stuff, all these things.
Do not distract.
That will not distract them. And I thank you, Lord God, that they'll be focused on you with their eyes fixed on you. And now, Master, I thank you that you're meeting their needs. The needs of these listeners, and you know what they have need of. The bodies that need healing, the relationships that are broken that need fixed, the people whose finances, need a breakthrough, and all these different situations. And thank you, Lord God, that you're moving on their behalf, because you are the miracle worker. You are the God of miracles. You are the God of yes and amen. And I thank you, Master, for that. And I thank you that you've anointed me to bring the word tonight, and that you've anointed the listeners to receive it. And I thank you for that, Jesus, in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And I make my confession over this program.
Thank you, Jesus. Sponsors and partners coming to this program. Finances coming to this program. Increases, more and more listenership will come to this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming in to your kingdom as a result of this program. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I want you to go with me, if you would, in your Bibles, please. I'm going to Matthew 6, and I'm going to start with verse 5 tonight. Amen. Matthew 6, 5. I'm going to teach on something, you know, that every Christian should know. Not maybe, you know, I'm sure not every Christian does, but it's called the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to figure, you know, we would teach on that tonight. You know, what is it all about? What's the meaning behind it? Is it just some silly sloppy agape type thing? Or is there, you know, just this little nicety thing?
River.
Or is it something important?
Miracle Man, can you repeat the thing you said? I don't think I caught that.
I said sloppy agape thing?
Okay, that is what I thought you said. Oh. Can you tell the listeners what agape or agape is?
Agape means like agape love.
Yes, unconditional.
Unconditional love.
Which is God love.
Which is God love. But my pastor will say sloppy agape would mean like unconditioned, you know, doesn't matter what you do. You know, it's fine. You just, you know, like that it's fine to just live in sin, which obviously in God's eyes, you're not.
Right. Unconditional does not equal all-inclusive.
Yeah, it doesn't mean like all-inclusive. But I mean, you know, and so. Just silly, you know, thingamajig prayer. Or is there a real meaning behind it? And so we're going to get into that. And I'm going to begin with verse 5. Hopefully by now you've found it. And I always like to say, you know, whatever I do, here where I am, you know, you do where you are and you be a part.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in verse 5 of Matthew 6:5, NIV. And when you pray, he said, notice he didn't say if you pray, when you pray. So you really should have a prayer line. You should. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. By the way, you shouldn't be a hypocrite either. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room or your prayer closet, you know, either, you know, different translations, different, you know. When you pray, go into your room or your prayer closet, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, capital F, meaning the Father, the Lord, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the hypocrite. I mean, like the pagans do. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I like to say it according to the New King James and Old King James. I don't know why it just sounds better that way, even though my version says
your,
our, and your. But I like to say thy, you know, that instead. So just giving you a heads up on that. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive your sins, your Father will not forgive you.
You
forgive
missed
your sins.
It.
For thine is the kingdom forever and ever. Amen.
No, you missed a line in verse 13. Can
yep.
you go back?
We also have forgiven 13. Our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
Forever and ever.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
You know.
It might be different translation. Mine says for verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us
from
evil.
Evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power
and the
and
power
the glory.
And the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Different translations, different things.
Okay.
And also verse 14, you know, says, you know, and if you, you know, forgive, you know, the trespasser, forgive sins, you know, like, in other words, what that is talking about, you know, is you've got to walk in forgiveness. But, and so we wonder, you know, so we have this prayer. And we see that it is not just some thingamajig, and there is true meaning behind it, you know, and part of it is, you know, and so, when, you know, and we pray to the Father, you know, and, you know, my pastor kind of teases about it, and he'll kind of say, doesn't necessarily mean you have to go slow, like, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Give us our day. Nope, that doesn't necessarily mean that. Well, there's also this other one that I think is pretty funny. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Give us our day. Forgive us. Amen. See you, God.
Yeah, I don't think that one works.
Nope, that one does. No, it's not like that. You know, my pastor teases about it, though. You know, you know, some people, you know, hopefully you don't exactly pray to Jesus, you know, like that way, like you're in a hurry and you got to get it in, you know, you know, like the silly Mick prayer.
Yeah.
Or the hot now prayer, the rally prayer, Wendy's, whatever you want to call it. You know, whatever your fast food place of choice is. But there's true meaning behind it. His kingdom come. You know, his kingdom come. His will be done. What's this about? Don't, you know, what that's about is let me have it how you want it. Let me have it how you want it, Lord. And not just always, it just always be my way. Like, show me, Jesus. I don't just always want to do it my way. Let it be done your way on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Folks, when we say give us today our daily bread, provision. Not just a piece of bread and a glass of water, you know, it can include that. But it's, you know, bread can be a part of that, of course. But talking about your provision, that's what that's talking about. You know, that part of that can be like your job, your income, and all that stuff. And forgive us our debts. In other words, that's helping forgive people, you know. That's why we have to forgive those who have sinned against us. Not everybody can instantly forgive when they see that someone has done wrong. You know, there's been times where, like, I know someone did wrong, and I heard them do it. And there have been times where I just forgave instantly. Wish everybody could do that, but...
Agreed.
But you know... And sometimes, one time it was almost like they almost didn't realize what they had done, maybe. And then you forgave them. You forgave them anyway. Now, when you've been forgiven, that doesn't mean you just go back and do it again. No. No. If you're going to ask for forgiveness of sin, you know, you're supposed to, then you're supposed to repent of that sin, meaning turn around, go the other way. Don't do that thing again. Don't do that sin again. Don't just go back and just think, I'll just go do that whole thing all over again. Nope. Instead, we ask him for forgiveness. And then it says, lead us not into the temptation. You know, the Lord will not tempt you, but the devil will. Let me rephrase that. Life will. There'll be things in life that are causing you to be temptation. And by the way, we're talking beyond the little candy bar that you saw in the grocery store. You know, I remember one time in youth group, was close to 20 years ago or so, he taught on, the youth leader teaches on temptation. You know what he did? He gave every youth, like 40 of us, a candy bar.
Oh.
See, I don't know whether the goal of that was to hope that we wouldn't eat it, but I ate mine after the service, not during it.
That's good.
I hope some of the youth weren't sitting there eating it during the service.
I hope not.
I think he might have given it to us after. If he gave it to us after, then I didn't really hold it for very long. I just ate it. Maybe the goal was to see. How I did was dependent on what the goal was. I mean, depending on when it was handed. If it was handed out, you know, when we got in there, then I would say I did generally pretty good because I waited to eat it until after the service was over.
Yeah.
But if the goal was for us to, you know, that he was going to hand it to us after the service, then I failed.
Nah.
Then in that case, I failed, and I ate it. And I think it was Reese's, or these Reese's M&Ms. Yeah, you know, the ones that I've joked before and said was the forbidden fruit, that was a Reese's that was inside of the apple.
Yes, you have to.
Okay, obviously, there were no Reese's in the Bible. No Reese's peanut butter cups, no Reese's pieces, none of that stuff. There was apples, but there had to have been something in that apple that made it special. Maybe there was some caramel.
Yeah, it was the knowledge of good and evil. That was what was inside that apple.
Yeah, but to make it so tempting and so delicious, like, there was probably some caramel in there.
Maybe.
I think there was some caramel. There had to have been.
But back to the Lord's Prayer.
But the Lord's Prayer, honestly. You know, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil.
Mm-hmm.
That means so that we stop doing evil. You know, we pray that all different ways, you know, like, Lord, I want to be right with you. I want to be pleasing in your sight. I don't want to be, you know, my own thing. I don't want to be my Lord. I want you to be my Lord. And, you know, and things like that. And it's important to have a prayer life. It's important to have a prayer life, you know, and praying, you know, unto God. And so, don't just pray so that God can hear you pray. you know. Of course, you want to have a meaningful relationship with God. So I think about my own pastor, Dr. Mark T. Boakley. One day, he's in Bible college out there in California. And so he hears, you know, one day he hears, you know, a professor talking about how he should, you know, about how, talking to the students and saying about how, you know, if you don't have a prayer closet, you should have one. So he goes to his house, to his apartment, actually, and he takes, you know, he makes a prayer closet for himself, goes in there, shuts the door, but he takes all the shoes out, all Vicky's shoes out, and all, and a bunch of other stuff. Makes himself a little prayer closet. So he, when he thought, you know, and it's like, you know, if I get a prayer closet and I pray, you know, and then I'll hear from God. And then, and so he goes in there for that prayer closet. One time he barely gets any sleep. And then a few days later, he goes to the professor and he says, you know, professor, I went and I got me one of them prayer closets that you told me I was, that we should get. I went and got me one of these. He said, did you hear from the Lord yet? No. He said, no. He's like, and then it's like, sometimes you got to be able to listen. Part of prayer is listening to God. Prayer is not always you babbling and coming up with more words to say so you can pray longer. No. Part of that is not listening to him. Listening to see. Does he say something? Is he talking to your spirit man? Is he talking, you know? Spirit, is he talking to you? Some people will hear him audibly. Other people will just hear him in their spirit. No, I didn't go away. I just took a sip of water. And so, didn't want you to think that something happened. But everything's great. Where's my phone?
It's 7:39. I'll find it.
Yeah.
It's in your fanny.
Oh, whoops. Oh, I found it. Oh, good. But anyhow, folks. So, and then it also talks about fasting, because that's important too. We'll look at that, and we'll look at what exactly does that mean. And so verse 16, and it says, I'm in Matthew 6:16, if you want to reopen it. And it says, and when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then it says, it goes on to this. I'll finish or do this this little passage also. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So about this fasting thing, he says, you know, first he says, you know, don't look somber. And then he says, you know, we don't always have to put oil on our head and wash our face just because we're fasting.
Well, the oil on our head is a figure of speech for the time. That meant to, like, do your hair, make yourself look nice. You don't need to look like you're a hobo just because you're fasting.
You don't need to look like, oh, I'm fasting. It's like I'm in prison. Oh, no, this isn't a prison. Go buy what you want.
Don't use it as an excuse.
Don't use it as an excuse to, like,
be lazy with your...
To just be lazy and be like, you know... And, you know, and whether you fast, you know, certain foods or go water only or go, do it as under the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. It is. And also, sometimes, what we do certain times in January and whenever else is you fast pleasant bread. Pleasant bread is something that you find as pleasant. Some of you, it could be, you know, certain things on TV that you might like to watch. And hopefully you're not always just totally dwelling on the news, like where that's like all you think about, all you ever listen to, all you ever, you know, to where you think about news more than you think about God. Because... You know, and they're not, and these news people, guess what? They're not paid to tell you all the good news and tell you how many planes made it on time to their destination.
Right.
Nope. They are told to tell you about the plane that crashed. They are paid to tell you about the train that derailed, the car accident that took place on the freeway, and all that stuff. They're not paid to tell you the good news. You know, but some people will sometimes act as if the news media has all the answers to whatever, and that the government has all the answers, when they don't. Oh, they don't always have all the answers. No.
Sure.
Yep. They don't. They don't. Even during this whole COVID thing, people would listen to all these different people thinking that they had all the answers. But they didn't always have all the answers. They didn't. Always have all the answers. But, you know, sometimes you give, you know, maybe you fast some TV. Maybe your big thing is sweets. And maybe you, you know, let up on that a little bit sometimes. Maybe your big thing is, you know, football in football season. And sometimes you just got to put that flesh of yours under. Take authority over that stuff and say, no, flesh, you do not rule me. I rule me, not you. Because that flesh of yours, it has wants. Yes, it does. You know, it has things that it wants. And your brain will always go to two things, what it wants and what it fears. Have you heard that before, Lex?
Yep.
So it's the two things, what it wants and what it fears.
I haven't heard those as the two things.
So what it wants and what it fears.
Okay.
But those two do make sense, don't they?
They sure do. Absolutely.
Yep, and so if it's afraid, it'll go to that. If it's wanting something, it'll tell you that. Like, I want this, I want that, I want, you know, and all that. And it'll be like, you know, But, you know, and then it says, you know, it says, you know, so you don't always have to be all looking somber. And don't be ashamed when you're fasting either. Don't be all ashamed of it and be like all sad. Someone tries to ask you, you know, you want this. Oh, I'm fasting. You know, you shouldn't be sad about fasting. You shouldn't be sad about it. Because it shows, when you're fasting, it shows that you're sacrificing. It shows that you love God. And you're doing it for Him. And so that's what that's about. And sometimes you fast, you know, when you believe in God for something. Sometimes you do that. Sometimes that's just what you do. Mm-hmm. When you know and you believe in God for something, whether it's for yourself or for someone else or for, you know, you just fast for, you believe God, you know. And some people, like I said, will do fast different ways. I'm not gonna sit here and get into a fasting seminar and tell you what you should fast on what day. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. If you're going to do it, it's between you and God. And you go from there. But that prayer life, it really is important to have a true prayer life, you know, before God. You know, and let him know, you know, he knows what you have need of before you ask. But at the same time, there's this whole thing of you have not because you ask not. And what you do, and then it also says, and when you do ask, you've asked amiss. Meaning you didn't ask the right way. So when it says you asked amiss, that's what that means. Yeah. Not amiss meaning like a miss instead of a miss instead of a missus. Nope. Means you did not ask the right way. So, and there's different kinds of prayers. You know, there's declarations and there's, you know, confessions, like when I make my confession over this program. And you don't want to make negative confessions over yourself. That can even be like when you're not praying, but, you know, but you can be, you know, talking and you can be saying, you know, my cancer or my diabetes, or be like, I have diabetes, I have cancer, I have high this or low that, or these things like that. You don't want to be speaking bad confessions over yourself. The miracle man is going all over the place tonight. Yeah. But you say, why? Well, I'm trying to help you. Yep. But folks, all there is to it is, folks, I'm trying to help you. And you know, things come up in my mind, you know, and so prayer is what it sounds like. Prayer. And you should be a person of prayer. You should be a person of prayer. Even like at my church, we have times of prayer, you know, before and after services. That's the time to come in there and pray with God, you know, pray to God over the service that's coming up. You know, whether that be, you know, morning or evening service. That's not necessarily the time to be praying over your family, praying over yourself, praying over, you know, all this other stuff. My cat, my dog, my wife, my car, and all this other stuff. Nope. You know, you can do that at home. You can do it at prayer, pre-service prayer if you like, but I'm just saying generally what it's designed for. And then the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, the door will be open. And it's great, when you have prayer. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And if you're going to have a good life of prayer, you should also have a life of, be living in faith. Because that's when prayer can really work the greatest, is when you have that faith in Him. Because having that belief in Him, that He will do what He says in His word, and it shall be done for you. Got to have that belief that He will do what He said in His word. Because that part of it's important. Have that faith, that trust in Him. Do not doubt. And over time I've taught a lot on faith on this program. It's important. We need it. When you're believing God for miracles, you absolutely need faith. You should be walking in faith and not by sight. And what do you mean sight? The way it feels, the way it sounds, the way it appears to you in the natural right there, right now. You have that faith in Him. You trust Him. That'll do what He said in His word. Amen. I pray I helped you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that we would have that life of prayer in you, Jesus, and that we'll be where you've called us to be, and we'll have that great relationship with you that you want us to have. And I thank you, Lord God, that we would be those who do your word in our lives and not just those who hear it but don't put it to practice. Thank you, Lord God, that we would be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everyone.